A judge rules Todd Rokita broke the law. Rokita files suit against TikTok, plus Indiana's abortion ban halted again, and more. From the television studios at WFYI, it's Indiana Week in Review for the week ending December 9th, 2022.
Indiana Week in Review is made possible by the supporters of Indiana Public Broadcasting Stations.
This week, a county judge ruled that Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita violated state law, breaking confidentiality in his office's investigation of Dr. Caitlin Bernard. But the judge also denied Bernard's request to put a halt to Rokita's investigation. Records show that Dr. Bernard filed the proper paperwork after providing an abortion to a 10-year-old Ohio girl and cooperated with authorities investigating her rape. But Attorney General Todd Rokita went on cable TV, accused Bernard of breaking the law without any evidence, and threatened to revoke her medical license. Since then, Rokita's office launched an investigation of Bernard based on consumer complaints. Marion County Judge Heather Welch ruled that Rokita broke the law by publicly discussing the investigation before his office filed an official complaint with the Indiana Medical Licensing Board. That official complaint was filed last week, and Judge Welch denied Bernard's request to halt the investigation because the issue is now in the licensing board's hands. Will Rokita face any repercussions for apparently breaking the law? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney. Republican Mike O'Brien. John Schwannis, host of Indiana Lawmakers. And Nikki Kelly, editor-in-chief of the Indiana Capital Chronicle. I'm Indiana Public Broadcasting State House Bureau Chief Brandon Smith. Ann Delaney, Bernard has now dropped this lawsuit since the case has shifted to the medical licensing board. So what does this mean for Rokita?
Well, it's full disclosure, my daughter is the attorney for Dr. Bernard. What this means from my point of view, looking at this, looking at the judges and reading the judge's opinion, is that Rokita ought to be concerned about his own license, not Dr. Bernard's license. There are disciplinary complaints pending against him for a number of different reasons, and now you have a judge who has determined that on multiple occasions, the Attorney General of the state of Indiana broke the law. And in addition to that, she found that Dr. Bernard has suffered irreparable harm, per se. And that makes a big difference if there's any other litigation resulting from this. But his biggest problem is not only did he break the law of confidentiality, she also addressed the fact that somebody in his office, whether him or one of his employees, changed the caption on one of the complaints because he didn't have jurisdiction on another doctor. And she didn't really find on that because it got dismissed beforehand. But the fact of the matter is it was allegedly a complaint against an entity, and they have no jurisdiction there. So they changed it and put a doctor's name in to create jurisdiction, which, as the judge said, was perilously close to the Attorney General's office filing a complaint on its own, which it's, again, prohibited from doing. So we have multiple counts of this, the highest legal officer of the state of Indiana breaking the law, and you have disciplinary complaints pending, and I hope they take action because he deserves it.
Todd Rokita's statement to the press after this ruling was he called it a major victory because the judge didn't issue the injunction because the venue is now the medical licensing board. Is that just how, it's just a typical case of spinning a result, or is it come off a little tone deaf? Or is the answer
how
both?
How are you going to answer that?
Look, where I started with this reprehensible act and horrific situation was, let's think about just how you handle this, something like this politically when you want to make it. Slow down. Give it a minute. All these mistakes and violations, but alleged violations, are the result of trying to get in front of a camera as fast as humanly possible to politicize a 10-year-old being getting raped and being pregnant. Which, again, was at the time, looking back on it, was insane. You had members of Congress who were from nowhere near Indiana or Ohio that were immediately on it, tweeting about it. Did she even exist?
A lot of the consumer complaints seem to be that case.
Exactly.
The consumer complaints on both ends. It's just the speed with which you're trying to politicize a delicate topic is what created some of these missteps. And it's all solved if you just give it a second and find out what's real and what's not. And then exercise the authority of your office as a
but he's not exercising
for the purpose
the authority
of consumer protection.
He's not exercising his authority. He's using it for his own political gain.
In terms of consequences for the Attorney General for, as the judge said, breaking the law, whether real consequences or political perceived consequences or both, does it feel like so much of this is going to hinge on what the State Medical Licensing Board does? If they rule for Todd Rokita, a lot of this seems absolved from his perspective, but if they rule for Dr. Bernard and they dismiss this complaint, he might be in a lot more trouble because then it came to nothing?
Well, I'm sure that the licensing board's decision will have a big impact, no doubt, but it may not be the final word. Is it not appealable,
the findings of the license?
I mean, it's interesting that the judge understandably said this is no longer my purview. It is before the licensing board, so effectively, here I'm wiping my hands of it, you take it over. But depending on the outcome and who may choose to appeal the outcome of that regulatory body, it might well be back. I'm not saying necessarily in Judge Welch's court, but it could be back in a trial court in Marion County. Let's not assume, A, that that's the final word. That may or may not have an impact on what repercussions, if any, that Todd Rokita might face in terms of his law license with the Supreme Court Disciplinary Commission, which I presume is the recipient of some of the right. the complaints that Ann alluded to. And I suppose it's not out of the question, if you really wanted to get, you know, interest, you know, get some palace intrigue here going, could you not have Marion County where crimes involving state government as the capital city, you could have a Democratic prosecutor, just a suggestion, in Marion County that brings charges.
Yeah, I don't think it's possible to sour that relationship any further.
Well, I didn't say that it was going to sour it anymore, but it would certainly heighten the tensions.
To the disciplinary process, there have been complaints that we've heard about that have been brought, that have been alleged against Todd Rokita, kind of surrounding the situation for a while now, and we haven't heard anything about any of them. Does this feel like this is going to kickstart this a little more when you have a ruling from a judge like this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, we know people filed, just like people filed against Dr. Bernard, allegations. But there isn't a formal complaint pending against him yet. The disciplinary board investigates and then decides if it rises to the level of a violation. I do want to point out one thing that we're missing a little bit is, yes, his license is definitely at issue, but also let's not forget, Dr. Bernard filed a tort claim on defamation months ago, and she has like a year to file a defamation case. She now has a ruling from a judge saying that he irreparably harmed her. I mean, that to me is the basis for defamation, if you've ever heard it.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Todd Rokita, Indiana has filed two lawsuits against social media giant TikTok, becoming the first U.S. state to do so. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Lauren Chapman reports Attorney General Todd Rokita's complaints focus on China's access to user data and inappropriate videos for children.
The first lawsuit claims that TikTok, a video sharing platform owned by Chinese company ByteDance, routinely exposes Indiana consumers' data without their knowledge to the Chinese government. TikTok has said in the past, U.S. consumer data is not subject to Chinese law. The second lawsuit alleges the app's age rating on stores like Google Play and Apple is misleading because videos that contain sexual, vulgar, and/or drug use content appear on the platform's For You page. The complaint called TikTok a Chinese Trojan horse. The Attorney General's office is seeking monetary penalties, and it's also asking for a court to order TikTok to stop marketing itself as an app appropriate for young teenagers and to halt its claims about how it handles data.
Michael Bryan, I think it's fair to say that a lot of the discussion on this program about Todd Rokita is often negative, but is Todd Rokita doing both the right thing and exactly what that office should be doing here?
He's in his lane, right? Yeah. So give him credit for that. And this is a big national conversation. I mean, this is a debate that's in D.C. on, and it's hard. It's how do you regulate content, right? How do you protect children and consumers from being targeted?
Especially when you're talking about a company that's based overseas.
In China, right.
Now, overseas is one thing. In China, it makes it
another, and it makes it more appealing politically, right? So it's, you know, so there's that element to it, too. My best friend's wife made him get off of TikTok because, for this reason, she said, you know, the Chinese are getting all your all your information. And he said, you know, if the only thing standing between China crushing the Western Hemisphere is their knowledge that I like cooking videos, then all of our power was an illusion anyway. So there is an element.
I thought you were going to say, only thing standing between that is Todd Rokita. We're in trouble.
Right. But part of this is that. It's consumerism. There's a reason that Russia can interfere with our elections. It's because we believe without question everything we read on Facebook. So, like, there's an element to, like, rebalancing this with personal responsibility and context.
Is Todd Rokita, as just one, you know, it's the first U.S. state to do so, and Mike just referenced, it's part of a national conversation. Is he relatively limited in what he can achieve here?
Collectively, the attorneys general can...
Yeah,
well, that's maybe, true. Or if the federal government would step in.
Which they're doing in other areas.
That's what needs to happen, is to have the federal government step in and do something about the Chinese ownership of this and what's being sold and social media in general. All of that is always sold in social media. That's what happens when you go on there. So, but the idea that the Attorney General of the state of Indiana is going to make a difference to the Republic of China is, I bet you he doesn't even get service.
This makes sense from a consumer protection standpoint. I think it makes sense. Is this also, as Mike kind of alluded to, a huge win politically for Todd Rokita? Because you're going to have plenty of folks on every side of the aisle.
Well, he doesn't do anything unless it has like a political upside. I mean, let's be honest. And you're right, though. It is a fair, you know, thing. It's definitely in his lane. I'm sure he has gotten consumer complaints about it. The section, and we've talked about the data in China, but there is some concern about, you know, they're saying we block this inappropriate content for kids under a certain age. And let me tell you what, there's an expert affidavit in that filing, that stuff they found on TikTok that I didn't even know what it was and had to Google it. Hope no one looks at my computer.
I was just going to say it was the work computer.
Hey, it was
for work.
It's
not the worst thing on the state house Wi-Fi.
So, I mean, there are definitely some fair things to discuss in there, but don't kid yourself. He looked at it from a political standpoint too.
There's also the question of, yeah, I don't know how much Todd Rokita will get China to play along with anything, but at the very least, does this elevate it to a level of consciousness among the general public? To get back to Mike's point about we need to be a little more responsible about how we consume social media. Does this at least put it in front of people and say, hey, did you know this about these companies?
Well, TikTok isn't just cooking videos.
Yeah, people who, for regulators and people, policymakers, this is not a new issue.
Right.
They get this. We've seen already a member of the FCC call for changes. We saw Marco Rubio in the U.S. Senate introduce legislation that would essentially shut down, you know, in its current fashion, TikTok. This week, at a more appropriate state level, we saw a Republican governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, say, we can't have this on state devices anymore. Yeah. Boom. And then you have a Democratic governor of Maryland, Larry Hogan, saying the same thing.
Now, Larry Hogan's a Republican. But
you just think he's a Democrat.
That's right. He's a
Republican.
That's right. That's right.
Only barely at this point.
But certainly not a Donald Trump fan. You're right. Two ends of the party, though, yes. Philosophically.
Sure. Yes, 100%.
But their concerns are based, as I understand it, on the Chinese aspect and on the ownership of the data and the misuse, potentially, of the data, not on the prurient interests of users. As for whether this heightens concern among the rank-and-file users, I would say a lot of these users, not only do they not have concerns about privacy, they seem to be averse to any privacy at all. I mean, in many cases, it's basically, I'll wear, if I can be noticed and I can express an opinion or an odd, quirky ability to juggle cats or something, I'll wear billboard sandwich. I don't do it. I'm not on TikTok even.
No, so but I bet you that's probably an idea for Rokita. He probably hasn't tried that yet.
Well,
maybe.
It'd be better with, you know, Democratic donkeys or elephants.
Whatever.
But they wear sandwich boards to tout the fact. I don't sense there's a heightened concern about privacy protection. And unfortunately,
I think there's also, because I feel this way, which is when it comes to privacy, I mean, we just got a notice from our hospital system that, oh, there was a data leak with the app you use to put all of your health information. And it's like, everybody, I feel like everybody has access to all of my information all the time at this point. So there's almost like a, like, oh, what's one more thing? Who cares? I don't know.
Instagram knows I love Nike sneakers.
Right.
Which is why I have 20 pairs of them, because it's constantly in my feed.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we post an unscientific online poll question, and this week's question is Attorney General Todd Rokita right to go after TikTok for its alleged access to user data and inappropriate videos for children? You can answer yes or no. Last week we asked you whether U.S. Senator Mike Braun is the front runner to be the next Republican nominee for governor. 35% of you said yes, 65% said no. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that issue in a minute, but for now, Indiana's near-total abortion ban has been halted again in state court. This time, a Marion County judge ruled that the ban likely violates Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act. A group of anonymous women and the organization Hoosier Jews for Choice sued the state in September, arguing the ban infringes on their religious beliefs. Marion County Judge Heather Welch agrees. She says the women have shown that they've changed their behavior because of the law. Three of them stopped trying to get pregnant, another became abstinent. Welch's ruling notes that the state already created exceptions in its abortion law, in some cases of rape or incest, and when the pregnant person's life or serious health is at risk. She says Indiana can't then refuse to accommodate the exceptions the women are asking for based on their religious beliefs. Enforcement of the ban was already halted in a separate lawsuit, which is scheduled to be heard by the state Supreme Court in January. That means, through at least then, Indiana's abortion ban is not in effect. John Schwanes, quite honestly, is this the height of irony?
This, I'm going to lobby Webster and say, next to irony, the definition should be some sort of pictogram.
RFRA being used to block as this.
Maybe the signing photo back when all the religious representatives were gathered around then Governor Mike Pence. Yeah, it is ironic. And it's a reminder that when people are zealous in their pursuit of certain types of measures, whether it's either seen as a wedge to open up a freedom or some way to curb an unwanted activity, that oftentimes people will and can and do find sort of the flip side of that. And you could almost see it coming because there are lots of religions and denominations with a lot of beliefs that some people in the quote-unquote mainstream would endorse and find perfectly suitable, and others that they would probably like to see on the banned list of whatever activity if we had that kind of constitution that allowed bans. So, yes, it's ironic, I guess, is the short answer to the question.
And I noticed a lot of people pointing out after this news broke, which was that kind of cuts both ways, which is, you know, boy, you had conservative groups pushing for RFRA, and now it's being used against the abortion ban being pushed for by conservative groups. But you also had folks on the left who were furious about RFRA, said it was the worst thing to happen to this state, and it's now being used to knock down the abortion ban, which is the latest worst thing to happen to this state. So in that sense, are they kind of happy that that RFRA is still around?
Political ideology is a circle, right? Yeah. And it meets. It's not
exactly.
A line. People think it's
exactly.
A line.
It's a circle that meets.
Yeah, I mean, oh, man, I was waiting for this to come. I'm not too surprised by the ruling. I do want to point out, by the way, that this is the same judge we were talking about in the
yes.
Caitlin Bernard case. So she had a busy last Friday. I think a lot of Republicans I talked to were absolutely shocked, but I'm not sure how they were shocked. I mean, when we talk about religious freedom and sort of the government compelling something for or against you, I don't know that there's anything more irreparable than forcing someone to bear a child. You know, we're not talking about forcing you to make a cake or not make a cake. We're talking about bearing a child. And so,
or in the case of several of these women, doing something that now they are not having children because they are concerned about a lack of this access.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Now, the abortion ban is already halted, and it's going to be halted through mid-January at the very least because of the Supreme Court hearing in the other case.
Right.
But this is still important because let's say the Indiana Supreme Court decides in that other lawsuit the abortion ban's just fine. This is, as the judge pointed out,
a completely
separate issue, yeah. Right?
Completely different basis. And when you talk about ironic, I mean, a law that was designed to discriminate against gays now comes back on the other pillar of the arch conservative Republicans who say that the 10-year-old should have borne that child and had been happy to be a mother when she was in grade school. It just shows you, when you try to cram your own religious beliefs down someone's throat, We are a diverse country and a diverse state even. And there are lots of different ways to approach religion. And it's inconceivable to them that you should have to recognize gay marriage, just like you have to realize that some people think that abortion is not the sin that they think it is.
Legislative leaders Rod Bray and Todd Houston have said, we're not going to do major anti-abortion legislation in the upcoming session, that we did it. We need to take a pause for a little while. And Rod Bray, in particular, cited the Supreme Court hearing as, we got to find out what the court thinks about this before we do anything else. But is a ruling like this going to put even
reopen
more pressure?
RFRA?
Well, I mean, reopen RFRA, but is it also going to put pressure on Houston and Bray from folks in their caucuses to say, no, we can't wait another year. We have to do more. We have to go now.
I think the vast majority of the members of their caucuses are perfectly fine with the leader saying, we're not doing it. We're not doing this session. For those who were there, there's a lot of new members.
Yeah.
So there could be an element.
Members,
yeah.
In both chambers.
Almost all of them Republican, but who may want to, but I think for those who lived through that special session, that was not a fun exercise, no matter how stridently pro-life you are. The one thing that is becoming obvious now that we're 6 months into this, restrictions on abortion are a fantasy for most people. It is becoming a class issue. This is, the affluent will never have an abortion ban, ever. It doesn't matter where you live. You live in Indiana and you can ban it all. Who can, people of a certain income level are not going to care. They have the means and the sophistication to go and find a jurisdiction that allows them to get what they want done, and they don't care what the state law is going to say. This is becoming, as this debate unfolds across the country, that piece is becoming obvious and no one's talking about it. That this will disproportionately, as it always did,
yes,
affect people that don't have access to health care and don't have the means necessary to go make the decision that they want to make.
Unless it affects, we've seen this happen around the country, you have emergency room physicians who are unsure about what they are
allowed to do and not do to save someone's life in a moment.
Yeah. That's a department. I think you're right.
Overwhelmingly.
90%. Yes.
Which is why they should have taken the approach Mississippi took. And they should have just said 15 weeks. Everything
flat.
Before 15 weeks.
Yeah, there were
weeks.
Some Republicans advocating
Would
for that.
It be yeah. a sensible approach?
A report by the Indiana Capital Chronicle, hey, we know that outlet this week, says that an internal campaign poll from U.S. Senator Mike Braun shows him with a sizable lead in the 2024 race for governor over a pair of opponents. The Capital Chronicle story shows the poll has Braun with a 37-point lead over Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch and a 42-point lead over Fort Wayne businessman Eric Doden. Braun filed paperwork for a gubernatorial run last week, Crouch hasn't officially announced her candidacy, and Doden launched his bid more than a year ago. More than a third of voters in the poll, 37%, said they were undecided. Nikki Kelly, how seriously should we take this poll?
Well, I mean, it's obviously a valid poll.
Sure.
I mean, it was released
given
for a reason.
Source, yeah,
it was to flex, and try to stop people from getting in the race or maybe try to push people out of the race. But it's also not a surprise. I mean, he's a sitting U.S. senator. He should have more name ID than all those people. So, I think it's a snapshot in time some good information to have, but we're so far away from that race that I'm not sure it has any large overall impact.
Yeah, I mean, really, it feels like it's a poll not on who do you want to be governor, but whose name do you recognize, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it's probably a reminder that Hoosiers need to remember to pay attention to civics and know who their office holders are at all levels.
If you didn't know who Eric Doden was,
I'm talking about the lieutenant governor.
That's
but when you do,
fair,
as
yes.
pointed out, 37% undecided, you could run a candidate named undecided and probably have
do
a pretty good
well.
Chance of
yeah.
winning
yeah.
at this point.
If this has an impact, is it saying to other candidates, all right, I've got to at least get in this race pretty soon so I can start getting my name recognized?
For sure.
Up.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's starting on third base. He's 30 or 40 points ahead of everybody else, and he's got pretty much unlimited resources to go make sure that he's at that level for a long time. That doesn't mean Suzanne Crouch can't catch up. She's a great fundraiser, well-regarded in the party. Eric Doden's been out for 2 years and can raise and has proven he can raise millions of dollars on his own. But you got to get going if he's starting out at 47%.
Yeah, is that what this poll does? Is we might start seeing more announcements here pretty
quickly. I think so. I think Mike's absolutely right. And if you get a race where you've got three guys and one woman, you know she's going to do pretty darn well
that. Run right up the middle. That's how Braun won, right? He ran against two congressmen and ran right up the middle of them.
All right, finally, I love this story. The restaurant chain Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers is suing a Hobart, Indiana shopping center owner after the restaurant found out that it was barred from selling chicken fingers. A lawsuit alleges that the landlord had an undisclosed deal with McDonald's in the same complex that only it could sell chicken products at that shopping center. Emily, how do you think the landlord thought it was going to get away with stopping a chicken finger restaurant from selling chicken fingers?
Well, you know, this has ruffled a lot of feathers. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. I think this is the classic case of the landlord on one hand with his secret deal and a leasing agent on the other who wasn't made privy to that secret deal. Obviously, the landlord's going to lose on this. I mean, when you tell him what your business is and he doesn't tell you that you can't participate in your business in that location, you're in trouble.
My favorite part of my favorite story in a while is that apparently, according to the lawsuit anyway, the landlord tried to sell the exclusivity deal to Raising Cane's that it had already sold to McDonald's. Does that take the level of the grift to a new level?
This is an entrepreneurial society. I mean, this is, no one should be buying chicken fingers from anybody other than Chick-fil-A, and it has nothing to do with politics.
How do we define chicken fingers, though? I really want to.
I'm sure there's a legal definition in that contract. Yeah. All right, that's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike O'Brien, John Schwannis of Indiana Lawmakers, and Nikki Kelly of the Indiana Capital Chronicle. You can find Indiana Week in Review's podcast and episodes at wfii.org/IWIR or on the PBS video app. I'm Brandon Smith of Indiana Public Broadcasting. Join us next time because a lot can happen in an Indiana week.
The opinions expressed are solely those of the panelists. Indiana Week in Review is a WFYI production in association with Indiana's public broadcasting stations.